searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
At all, there's a voice that cries out, and that's what we're here to talk. That's what we're here for right now. And when it talks about he wants it all, if you give him your all, he gives you his all. And I promise you, his all beats our all the time. Anyway, my name is Deacon Charles Tate. Actually known as Deacon Charles Tate. Once again, we welcome you to Run for Christ Ministry Wednesday Bible class. Tonight, we'll be talking about ears to hear. And that goes along with what the song was talking about. But right now, let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you so much. You've given us your all. You came here in the form of man, gave your life so that we might be able to sit, we might be able to call ourselves your children, to be adopted into your family. And for that, we really thank you. And it didn't just stop there, Father. You did it all for us. So right now, as we look into your word, we ask that you just continue to do what you've been doing for us. Like we talked about this, ears to hear right now, Father. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds, and let us be receptive to what it is that you have decided to give to us through your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Now, first off, I got any readers out there? We're here.
We're here.
Yay, we're here.
Okay, okay. Thank you, my brother and my sister. Tonight, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 17. And once again, I hope you got your books, because you're going to be reading, and we're going to be talking. But you're going to be doing most of the reading, and I'm going to be doing most of the listening. And then we're going to talk about it. So right now, what I need somebody to do for me is to go ahead and read Matthew chapter 13, our scripture lesson, verses 9 through 17.
Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. This is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so the eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear. And their hearts cannot understand. They cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. How far you want me to read, Deacon?
17.
Okay.
That's it. That's it. I'm going to stop right there. Because I know you'll keep on going, so I got to stop you.
I want to make sure you hear.
That's all right. I
want to make sure you hear.
I'm hearing. Okay, now, if you have your book, we go into our books. And the first part of what we're talking about this evening is the importance of listening.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I need somebody to read for me that first section of the importance of listening. I think in the book it says hearing parables, and it's going to talk about Matthew 13, verses 9 through 10.
Yeah. Okay, it reads as follows. Hearing parables, Matthew 13, verses 9 through 10. In New Testament days, there were ungodly people who apparently had a curious interest in spiritual matters, but were not interested in embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. From them, spiritual truth was withheld. When Jesus taught his disciples, he used a method of teaching that kept ungodly listeners from comprehending what he was saying. When he said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear," verse 9, he was referring to the godly. Jesus had just finished telling the parable of the sower, verses 3 through 8. As we find out later in the chapter, even the disciples could not initially understand the meaning of this parable, verses 18 through 23. But when it was explained to them, they would have the capability of comprehending the message Jesus conveyed. They were puzzled, however, as to why Jesus was teaching in parables.
Yeah, thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
Not a problem. Thank you. Now, you know, we ran across while you was reading that when Jesus taught his disciples, he used a method of teaching that kept ungodly listeners from comprehending what he was saying. You know, when I was reading that, I thought about something. I don't know if you guys know back in the day when, you know, people used to speak sometimes with pig Latin and a language that, you know, just the other person might understand, or we all might have had some way of communicating with somebody that other people didn't understand. You know, when we was going to make, I was raised in the 60s and the 70s, but we all sometimes had a way of communicating with our friends that other people didn't understand. And we would do it sometime when we were just amongst our friends. Now, when it said, you know, Jesus did this, and when it said they were puzzled as to why Jesus was teaching them parables, so why do you think that he did that?
Well, the lesson gives three reasons.
What do you say? I'm sorry.
I say the lesson gives three reasons why he did it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I don't want to give away all the answers. Do I?
Well, we're just discussing right now. Go ahead and, you know, feel free to speak.
Okay, so the first reason was he wanted to pass on to his followers the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And then the second reason was for his desire to hide spiritual insight from those who were rejecting him. And the third reason is because he wanted to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah.
Okay, anybody got anything they want to add to that?
Also, I think that by speaking in parables, those that were curious to really understand, they questioned him. They asked for what the meaning of these parables were, you know, so they showed that they wanted what the word is supposed to give them, the insight. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you're telling a story and one person asks questions, that person is interested in what you're giving them rather than just following you. I don't know. That's my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I was going based upon basically what she was just saying. They're the ones that was intrigued.
Right.
They would question. They would question it because now you said this, you piqued my interest. Now tell me what that means, where everybody else just took it and let it just roll off their back, unless they already knew what it meant. But other than that, right, it just rolled off their back.
I guess if you got people that believe that are believers and unbelievers, the believers are gonna want to know more, where the unbelievers not be as interested, and so it's for the believers and the unbelievers if you want it, you'll seek more.
It's amazing how you see here that when people are not really interested, Jesus knows that. And so since we're filled with the Holy Spirit and he's our teacher, he knows we're not interested. And so he won't reveal. Like, that's why the atheists never get their answer. Just show yourself to me. He knows that they might want to see God, but they don't want to embrace God as God and become humble themselves under him. So when Jesus knows that somebody is, you know, just fluffing, he's not going to get serious with them and try to tell them anything. That's why he did the Pharisees like he did them. He used to tell them, you know, whatever. Because he knew they was there. Why are you trying to trick me? Why are you trying this? Why are you trying that? Because he wanted them to know and that they really didn't. John chapter 6 is real good. Jesus said some hard stuff, and they couldn't get with it, and they walked away. Those were the ones who didn't have it. But like y'all been saying, Peter, he said, Lord, when Jesus said, will you also walk away? They said, well, you got the words of life. Where are we going to go? So we here. But see, the others walked away because they were interested in God, but they weren't ready to embrace Jesus. They weren't really ready to embrace him and become, you know, obedient to the Father. So, and it's the same way with us today as Christians. If the Lord knows that we are not seriously interested in knowing his word, you know, you can't sit in church and hope the Bible gonna fill your head up. You literally have to go to Bible class like this. And then Jesus will see that you are really interested. And so you'll get it, whereas others, they just sit on the pew and chew, and that's pretty much all they do.
Okay, I don't know who you are, but I'm not going to let you talk no more unless I tell you to.
If I can say something, please.
Go ahead.
I think of it as a time when you're, say, witnessing to people, be it friends, family, whoever, and they're not seemingly understanding what you're saying is because they haven't accepted Jesus Christ into their life. So they're not understanding what you're saying. So it's still our point has to be made that you're going to have to accept Jesus Christ in your life and know what his word says for how we behave ourselves. And that is certainly of today. There's so many of just not under the word, not attending church, and think that it's not necessary to even go to church. But yet, to assemble ourselves together as believers, we too have to stay in the word and be able to learn it and express it, get that holy boldness to even express it to someone else. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
You know, Deacon, I like to comment on this. I went up to Miss Janice this past Sunday, and I heard a quote that Tony Evans was saying about people to worship at church, but some of us are not worshipers. We just go there, how you want to say it, to worship, but we don't really actually witness as far as worshiping God. So would that relate to the parables as far as trying to understand what Jesus was saying when he was discussing that with his disciples?
Okay. Now, I'm full of questions. I'm going to hold back on questions because you guys have to answer the question. But I am going to say this. We already brought up the fact that Jesus knew that these people, or some of the people, had no intention whatsoever of ever accepting anything he said or did, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So why am I going, like, for instance, what's that verse in the Bible where it talks about why do you cast your pearls on swine? So
Yeah.
So why am I going to bother with these folks at all? Because I know how they feel about me when we get to the next part when it's talking about hearing and listening. Matter of fact, why don't we move on in our book? Let's go to hearing and understanding. And somebody read that section for me.
It says, Jesus had, that's Matthew 13:11-12a. It says,
right.
Jesus had offered himself to Israel as her Messiah, but she had rejected him. The epitome of the rejection can be seen in the statement in Matthew 12:24. The religious leaders had concluded, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by
Beelzebub,
the prince of the devils. In saying this, they attributed his power and authority to Satan. It appears that
now,
it was...
Stop right there for a minute.
Okay.
Stop. Mm-hmm. Did you see they said he came, you know what I mean, his power was by who?
Beelzebub.
Yeah. And when they're saying attributed his power and authority to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, I mean, can you, are we talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ himself? And like it said in the beginning, he had offered himself to Israel as Messiah. But these people said he came from the devil. Now, you're talking about Jesus, okay? And he's standing in front of these people who he himself has made. We know John 1:1 tells you, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was nothing made without him. And now they're standing up, you know, I mean, to me that had to be the ultimate insult. And it really did. And you're standing face to face to the Creator, and you're saying he got his power from the devil. The same person, didn't God make the devil? So, but anyway, go on, I'm sorry. What did that say? We stopped, it appears.
Huh? Yeah, okay. It appears that it was after this rejection that Jesus began teaching in parables much more extensively. The disciples noticed the different emphasis and asked Jesus the reason for it. In response to their question about teaching in parables, Jesus gave three reasons. The first is given in these verses. Jesus wanted to pass on to his followers the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Those who believed in the Lord were enjoying the privilege of learning more about him, his Father, and the eternal plan coming from them. And those who rejected the Lord were being denied any further comprehension because of their refusal to believe. This still occurs today. Those who receive the Savior are given insight into the Word of God, while those who reject Him cannot understand it. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. What's your guys' take on that right there? I'm just curious. Because, I mean, it really kind of
you won't be able to comprehend it if you don't try to learn the Word of God. You won't be able to comprehend it. And he's just going to give it to those that can comprehend, the ones that are studying and, you know, showing their self-approved and studying his Word so that they could get more from it. Mm-hmm. And you really can't understand it. If you don't study, you really don't understand it, and you just kind of, if you don't want to understand, you don't really want to know about God or know about what, you know, what he's saying, then you just won't know, and he won't give it to you. You just won't have it. You'll never understand it. And then you'll be lost.
who leads us and guides us in all understanding while we're here?
The Holy Spirit.
Exactly. These people were just talking about that we mentioned earlier, these people were talking about that Jesus was controlled by the devil. So they had no knowledge, and we're talking about the spiritual leaders in their day. They had no knowledge whatsoever of the Holy Spirit. None at all. They didn't recognize. First off, they didn't accept Jesus when he offered himself as Messiah. You know what I mean? So how could they possibly have any knowledge of the Holy Spirit? Because they didn't recognize. But at the same time, Jesus was talking up to people that recognized him. You know what I mean? And they, you know, like they said, he had just gave them the parables of the sower And he was talking, like we know, for a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the common everyday people would recognize. We were talking about teachers of the law at this time. You know what I mean? The ones that these people had been looking up to. And Jesus was really making it plain for everybody, but they just didn't want to accept the fact that he was who he was. Like it says here, those who believed in the Lord were enjoying the privilege of learning more about him, his Father, and the eternal plan coming from heaven. And see, that's what separates us right now from everybody else. Is your desire to learn, I think that was Kathy talking, is your desire to learn more about the Lord? Is your desire to get into his word and learn more about him? I was talking to Pastor, and I'm just people want people to know, the person that I told couldn't say anything else in class, that's my pastor. Okay, so that was just jokingly saying that. Don't take, that's my pastor. Somebody, and I'm going to say it on the radio, that I talk to every day, that leads us and guides us in the word and knows exactly what he's talking about. And everybody else that's talking right now knows exactly who I'm talking about. And at the same time, can you imagine the slap in the face, like I said earlier, that Jesus received from these people? I mean, stop and think about it. You, the creator of all the universe, the one that knows you inside out, but you don't recognize him. And why don't you recognize him? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay? It says here, this still occurs today. Those who receive the Savior are giving insight into the Word of God, while those who reject him cannot understand it. We're back to the ears to hear. The ears to hear, no matter what. Now I got a sidebar question. Just a sidebar. Now, since he's talking about this, should that stop us from witnessing to people?
No. Shouldn't.
But have you read somewhere?
Let me ask you, what stopped you from witnessing?
I'm sorry?
You said, did that stop us from witnessing? And you're talking about in the perspective of somebody not having a hard heart or what?
Just basically telling people about Christ.
No. It shouldn't.
No. So you're saying that they're not a believer? I'm not understanding the question, maybe.
Okay, let me see if I can rephrase this to make it a little more plain. Okay. Should we still be about doing what God tells us to do? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
How can I? Let me put this.
So you're saying that
God already knows
you know
everybody
that
is going to be saved, right?
Hold on, let me ask a question. I can hear it. Go ahead.
Well, now God already knows everybody is going to be saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his plan.
But at the same time, do we know who's going to be saved and who's not? We don't know.
No,
we don't know. So, right, exactly. So nothing should stop us from witnessing.
Right. We definitely don't know.
Nothing. Exactly. We definitely don't know. See, I'm gonna just be honest. See, that's what happens when you sit down and talk to pastor every day. You know, that kind of stuff just pop out of nowhere.
And that's good, because then y'all throwing it up and gives you a chance to enhance what you know or what you're trying to learn. So I'm good with it.
What made me bring that up is when I read again, those who receive the Savior give insight into the Word of God. And that's something that I know each and every one of y'all I'm talking to right now had that insight. While those who reject him cannot understand it. And that's what we're dealing with right now. When we talk about ears to hear, no matter what you hear sometimes, if you're not hearing it the way that it's supposed to be said, you know, you... you might not get it. Now, okay, let's move on to the next part. When it says hearing and not understanding, maybe better help us understand a little bit. Okay, somebody read that for me.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Hearing and not understanding, Matthew 12b through 13. The second reason Jesus gave for teaching in parables was his desire to hide spiritual insight from those who were rejected. He saw this fact as part of his first reason, but he especially emphasized it in three verses. In these verses, verse 11 includes the phrase, "To them it is not given," indicating that those outside the circle of believers were not being given the same spiritual instruction as the believers. Not understanding the truth, they soon forgot it. It was snatched away from their hearts by the enemy. Jesus described such a person as one who saw but did not see and heard but did not hear. Those who rejected him saw his speech to the people and listening to his words, but they could not understand his substance. They had physical hearing without the ability to hear spiritually. They had physical sight without any ability to comprehend spiritual reality.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
All right.
I mean, there ain't too much to say after that, is
there? Not really.
You know, that really kind of just speaks for itself. And the reality of it is that we as believers and true believers are blessed so much with that ability. But the only way we exercise that ability is, once again, getting to the Word on a daily basis, you know, and just staying in the Word on a daily basis. I mean, when he was talking about his disciples, and they spent day and night with him for 3 years, and sometimes, you know, we have a tendency, maybe I'm telling on myself, sometimes we just don't do like we're supposed to do when it comes to the Word.
Amen.
But did that cause the Holy Spirit to leave us hanging, or is he with us all the time?
He's still with us?
No.
Yeah, he stays with us all the time. He's still with us. So, you know, the verse in First John. But anyway, we're not going to go into all that. We're going to stay on the lesson. Like you say, Jesus described such a person as one who saw but did not see and heard but did not hear. Those who rejected him saw him teaching the people and listened to his words, but they could not understand his messages. They had physical hearing without an ability to hear spiritually. They had physical sight without an ability to comprehend spiritual reality. That's where we go back to hearing and not understanding. Okay. Let's move on to the discrepancies in listening. Any questions or comments on what we just talked about? What we just went through, anything at all? Because I know you guys got questions and somebody got something to say.
Teacher, there's a lot of disturbance in the line.
It is.
I had a comment, Deacon Tate.
Go ahead.
When you were talking about do we still minister to even though like being in church for, like if people go to churches that's not teaching the Bible, or having Sunday school where you can really learn. If you're in church, you know, 20 years, and then you don't really understand what you're hearing, and so you could have people that are saved and believers, and you have unbelievers too that still listen to the word, and they're sitting up in church, you know, all those years, and they're not having Bible study, or they're not really understanding it. So, like, I sat up in church all those years and really didn't understand the Bible because they, were breaking it down, wasn't teaching it well, and it wasn't interested in going because it wasn't, I wasn't learning anything, and sitting in church not learning anything. So a lot of people don't learn. It kind of turn them away, or it causes you to move. I guess that's the Holy Spirit. It causes you to move to another church so that you can learn, and you do want more. But so you have to keep ministering to people because if they did believe and they didn't understand, we don't want to, eliminate those people because they do want to know about God, but they just weren't getting what they needed. And I guess they need that Holy Spirit in order for them to move to another church. So we have to keep ministering to people because we never
know. Why do you have to go to another church, though?
That really wants it.
Amen.
Why do you have to go to another church? They may not be applying themselves.
Yeah, because if they're not teaching the word and you're not really learning, you're just sitting there 20 years and you haven't learned anything, then the Spirit is going to move you. It's going to move
you. Well, that could be so as well. But if you ain't applying yourself to it, that's why you're not getting it, because that was my case in years ago. I was just going to be going. Then I found out it's a significant meaning for going. Then it just started altering my belief away.
Yeah, but you know how Pastor O makes sure that you study words, and he has opportunities for you to learn. That was and if I was I went to Bible study, but I never understood or understood what they were, talking about. I never understood it, and it just wasn't, in depth, and it wasn't consistent.
I agree with you. I wore them same shoes, but it's just I've learned to apply myself a little more. I'm not saying I got it, but I'm sure trying more harder to get it now than I did in the past.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
But when you learn it, it makes you feed for more. When you're learning, you enjoy learning and you feed for more. Yeah.
Okay,
wasn't getting that at the church I was going to.
Let's reel it in just for 1 minute. Okay? Let's reel it in just for a second. Remember, the Holy Spirit, the timing might not have been right when you were somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The timing, but the Holy Spirit didn't give up on you. Jesus didn't give up on you. I'm going to just say it like this. The majority of us are sitting and running for Christ right now. I came from somewhere else.
Amen.
So the light didn't come on. The light was always there, but the switch didn't go boom.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's just like, we're not at the parable right now, but when it talks about the seed being spread, the seed was already there, but it had to be fertilized. It had to be watered.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be nurtured. And that's what we've been blessed with while we've been at Running for Christ Ministry.
Nicely
said. Like
I
just said, most of us came from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But the switch didn't get to that bam until we had somebody come along and it flipped that switch for us. So it's always there, like you said, it's always there. But see, we've read about the people, going back to the lesson, the ones that Jesus said, I don't even want to talk to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Because y'all don't even want to hear what I got to say. in order to for that switch to come on, let's just say he that has ears to hear, you had to open up your ears and just let the Holy Spirit do what he is going to do, if that makes any sense. It might have took a while, but the great part about it is now you're there. And once you know, once you start to feed on something that's good, it's kind of hard not to, you know, it's kind of hard not to keep chewing on it.
You know, it's like the people, and this is not Pastor O. It's like those people who come to church from time to time, but they really haven't given their lives to Christ yet. But they sit there for a while, and one day they receive Jesus, they receive the Holy Spirit, and now they can understand. Thank you. This is not Pastor O. 1 John 1:9.
But you know, the only reason why people are hard-hearted and not listening because the devil has caused man to go through all these different sanctions of religion, different churches that does this and does that. A lot of it is for show. A lot of it is for the money. A lot of it is for other reasons besides what Jesus is teaching. But it makes it hard for a person that wants to go to church and these churches are doing false doctrines or doing things that doesn't relate to the Bible.
You know, I know that the Holy Spirit moved me because I was like, I'm not getting it. I'm missing something here. I'm just not getting it. He just kind of moved me out of there. And one day I saw one of the members from the church that I used to go to out shopping, and she was saying, oh, I'm getting me an outfit to wear to church Sunday. You know, I got to, and she was just trying to get the best outfit. And I was like, see, that's why. They were just going for dress and for show, and I was like, I was just glad I left it. I said, they haven't grown in me, have not grown at all, because they're still worrying about what they're going to wear to church and the fashion part of it. I was like, I made a good
decision. Okay. Okay, nah, I'm not sitting here 2 hours. So let's move on. The discrepancy in listening. Somebody read for me the discrepancy in listening, Matthew. Before we say that, though, I'm going to read the last part of what we read before. They had physical hearing without an ability to hear spiritually. They had physical sight without an ability to comprehend spiritual reality. And this only comes through the Holy Spirit. The discrepancies in this, somebody read that for me.
Okay. These words are quoted from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 6 records the call of Isaiah to his prophetic ministry. Isaiah was to tell the people to keep listening without understanding and to keep looking without perceiving. By Isaiah's time, Israel was so corrupt that God would not turn from his determination to punish her with captivity. Sadly, Judah, the southern kingdom, was also filled with corruption. Since the hearts of the people in Isaiah's day were already hardened against God, the more he preached, the more hardened they would become. As he ministered, their hearts would become increasingly dull. Their ears would become less receptive to the message, and their eyes would remain blind to the truth. They had reached a point in their rejection of God where he refused to enable them to turn back and be healed. The same thing that happened to the people in Isaiah's day was now happening in Jesus' day. People had rejected God and the Messiah he had sent to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy was the third reason Jesus spoke in parables. Just as in Isaiah's time, there would be a remnant of believers, but on the whole, the people were rejecting him and would suffer the consequences. Amen?
Amen.
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 Yes, they do. What's your take on that, my people? Yeah, I mean, see, we've been blessed with the guys that just talk not fast old. So, you know, we've been blessed in that area to have somebody that has led us and guided us in what the word says. But can you imagine being in a place to where, just like these people we just read about, their hearts of the people in Isaiah's day were hardened against God. The more he preached, the more hardened they would become as he ministered. I mean, you know, we sometimes can't even fathom, how is it that you don't listen to the word, that you don't get excited like we in our conversation now? Listening to you all, I could tell, you know, the excitement, the, you know, the blood boiling when you get to talking about the Holy Spirit and the Lord. But can you imagine being in a time where people just totally rejected God? I hate to say this, but, you know, we kind of leaning in that time right now.
Yes, and, we are.
Yeah, and the reality is this, you know, we always talk about when is he coming back. But that, well, I ain't gonna go there because that's not part of the lesson. We in the ears to hear. So what I'm saying is that what we need is our constant prayer right now needs to be that the people do open up their ears, that they do come to realize that they allow the Holy Spirit to do what's to be done in their lives. So they that will come. When I talked about the witnessing before. So that they will come to the understanding that Jesus is real and accept him as his Lord and Savior before it's too late. Just like it said when we was reading about when God said that he was Isaiah's time, when he said he was going to go ahead and send him into captivity. You know that? He had just got to the point where, okay, well, I'm going to just send you all on over there. I'm going to be with you while you go. But that's a whole other story. That's a whole other story. They reel it back in, getting too far out there.
Not the old junior.
But, and the great part is that, though, but when it talked about that remnant, but on the whole, the people who rejected them would suffer the consequences. See, that's one thing that people don't understand right now, is that it's consequences for everything that you do. And our responsibility, like I talked about before, is just to continue to knock on the door, if that makes any sense at all. Let's move on to the last part, the disciples' blessing. Somebody read that for me.
The disciples were a great contrast to those who rejected Jesus, and as a result, they were unusually blessed. They had believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah sent from God. Therefore, they were able to comprehend further spiritual truths. That is completely the opposite of those who had no spiritual comprehension at all. This contrast still applies between believers and non-believers. So ungodly ears are deaf to spiritual teaching.
Amen. How are you going to be blessed? That's a question.
By hearing and following his words.
See? They have believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah sent from God. Therefore, they were able to comprehend further spiritual truths. That right, the disciples' blessing, and see, that wasn't just to them, you know, that's something we get to partake on. So, any questions or comments on that one right there? I'm listening to my people.
That is one of my favorite scriptures. Oh, this is crazy, Larry. He sounds just like Pastor, so I'll pay him a little bit of attention. But anyway, this is one of my favorite passages right here. Yeah, remember I'm from Blog Talk Radio when the show didn't go right, Crazy Larry was running it. But anyway, that's my cousin. Anyway, that's one of my favorite passages right there, because we are so privileged. I mean, really, it is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and to them, it's not. So you could have two people standing right by each other. Jesus walked up and started talking. One person say, you know, Jesus, I get it. The other person be like, what? What did you even, what? Why are you talking like that? I don't get it, you know. And the difference is one has the Holy Spirit, one does not. One wants to know, one only wants a surface relationship. You know, you can tell surface relationship Christians, all they ask God for is stuff. They never ask for, Lord Jesus, help me control my mouth. Lord Jesus, help me to control my walk, my talk. You know, help me to, you know, Jesus, I want to slap everybody I see. Help me to, today to just only want to slap five people, Jesus, just five. So, you know, they seek him out to get better. They recognize the shortcomings in themselves, and so they reach to him for that healing in that area. But surface Christians, all they want to do, have you ever noticed the music that we listen to? I mean, 99.9% of it is begging God for something, or just, it's all about us and what we're going through in life. You have very few songs, and that's why you hear me play the Christian rappers, because they speak to the struggle of living for God. You know, so Jesus knows when you come to him in prayer what's most important to you. If you talk to him about you and your shortcomings, then you want to be more like him, because you already figured out that if I seek his kingdom, he's going to give me the stuff, so I don't have to ask for it. I just need to seek his kingdom. But either you pray to him for the stuff or you pray to him for the kingdom. And that's in our prayers. And as we mature, like Kathy was saying, as we mature, like Eric was saying, I was going because you're supposed to go. But now he goes because he wants to know Jesus. She goes and she gets to, she hears Jesus now. When you want it, you get it. He said, ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. But if you ain't asking, seeking, and knocking, well, if you ain't asking, you're not getting. If you're not seeking, you're not finding. And if you're not knocking, who goes to their door and say, who is it, and ain't nobody knocking? Except that person, but that one person. But anyway, the rest of people don't do that. So this is my favorite passage, that the Lord opens up to us. I mean, he will actually answer us and not them. And the only reason he won't answer them is because they don't really want to hear him. For some reason, they're amused with him, like he's some sort of thing in a zoo you go look at. But Jesus is not that. He is a person. And one time, I was just studying, and the Lord told me, look, I am not somebody you learn. I am somebody you get to know. I'm a person, not a math problem. Okay, so quit trying to figure out how to get to this answer and just try to get to know me. What about that? Do like Enoch. Just hang out with me. Just get with me in the morning, noon, and night, all day long. Be with me, and I'll show you some stuff. And he will, trust me. But then you'll be in that position, unless you like my brother Richard, you'll say, I'm not telling nobody that. Richard will go there, baby. He will go there, and he don't care if you think he's crazy, but I got a problem with that. But he tells the truth. God shows him things. I know he has, because he revealed them to me. And I hear it. I say, he's saying it. He's like, yeah, he don't care if he look crazy. You look at you. You crazy, but don't, you know. But anyway, we get to know y'all. And like his disciples would do after the class was over, that's what me and Deacon Tate talk every day, okay? And this is the kind of stuff we talk about every day. So when it's like when the class is over, we start bouncing back and forth what Jesus said. And then the Holy Spirit get involved, and then it's just a little phone praise fest. Even when it's problems, we go to the Bible to solve them, because there's always a word from the Lord. But we get to know, and they don't. How privileged are we? Like the psalmist said, who is man that you're mindful of him, that you share stuff with him?
Psalms chapter 8.
That's some awesome stuff right there. Okay, Deacon, throw the towel in on me. Throw me the towel.
He is the answer, okay? He's the answer. He's got all the answers. And
he even work on cars, too. He know all about them.
Anyway,
why'd you have Crazy Larry come to church Sunday?
Crazy Larry be there every Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
It was a Crystal. She know all the Larrys, because the Larrys, when I had a bad show, and somebody would say, "You was a little off yourself." That was my cousin. That was sick, Larry. He just sickly. He was crying. Was he coughing? Yeah, he was coughing through the whole thing. Yeah, that was sick, Larry. You know. And then when I come on to teach hard, that was mad, Larry. He's just mad all the time. So.
Well, that's cool. At least I know Larry now.
Hey, Larry, he take all the blame.
All right. Crazy Larry.
All right, let's get to these questions. Okay. Question number one. What type of people among those listening to Jesus could not comprehend what he was saying?
Okay. Up there in the importance of listening. Oh, hold on. Give me a second. I got to pull over. Well, here it is. In the New Testament days, there were ungodly people who apparently, who apparently had a curious interest in spiritual matters, but were not interested in embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Or you keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Hmm.
That's wrong?
No, you're right. You did.
Oh.
And the reason I'm saying that is because I don't understand, you know, how you could possibly have an interest in spiritual matters and not want to get with Jesus. You know what I mean? That's all. That's why, Look, good answer. Thank you, my brother. Question number two.
What question did the disciples ask Jesus and why? Real quick, before we get to question number two, you brought up something that came back to me. We were over there giving away some food, and this guy came up who lived down the street, and they asked him at first, did he want a Bible? Or did he want to pray or give his life to Christ or anything? He said, no, I'm into another kind of religion, another kind of thing. And, you know, because he was like Latino, Mexican, so I said, oh, you mean like beliefs in Aztec, Hernan Cortez and all of that? Because most Mexicans, they are Catholic, and most of them is because South America was evangelized by Catholics, whereas North America was evangelized by Protestants. That's why we like we are. So anyway, I knew immediately that he was not going to understand anything you say to him. And so we talked a little bit about the Aztecs, and we talked a little bit about Christianity. But before he left, he is the guy that I told you took a Bible with him. What he said he didn't want, after I talked, then he wanted to take a Bible with him. So I prayed to God he went home and read that. But he had an interest in God, but he didn't want to embrace him. And so that's that. I just thought that would be a perfect example of this. And you're right. How can somebody just want to know that God exists but not embrace him? That seems kind of crazy.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, Larry likes to answer questions.
Okay. He's asking questions. What question did the disciple ask Jesus and why? Come on, somebody. I need number two.
Okay, well, I'm waiting on somebody to answer. Next second paragraph. I started as we find out later in the chapter, even the disciples could not initially understand the meaning of his parables. His parables, verses 18 through 23. But when it was explained to them, they would have the capability of comprehending the message Jesus conveyed. They were puzzled, however, as to why Jesus was teaching in parables. Amen? Yes, no?
Amen.
Okay. Deal with that. Question number three. At what point in his ministry did Jesus begin to use parables more extensively?
That would be on 44 under hearing and understanding. It says in 13:11-12, it says Jesus had offered himself to Israel as her Messiah, but she had rejected him. The epitome of the rejection can be seen in the statement in Matthew 12:24. The religious leaders had concluded, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In saying this, they attributed his power and authority to Satan. It appears that it was after this rejection that Jesus began teaching in parables much more extensively.
Okay. Question number four. What were the first two reasons Jesus gave for using parables?
I have the first one as, where it's further down, well, it's actually the next paragraph. I have the first is given in these verses. Jesus wanted to pass on to his followers the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
I'm in class.
Then the second part is down at hearing, not understanding, Matthew 13:12b-13. The second reason Jesus gave for teaching in parables was his desire to hide spiritual insight from those who were rejecting him.
Bigger than yours.
Okay.
We saw the we saw this as part of his first reason, but he especially emphasized it in the verse 11. Okay. Verse 11 is another question. Yeah, that's another question.
Another question.
Okay.
Amen. Did you say?
No, my brother, that's good. I was just sitting up here. Okay. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to say it out loud. I was just sitting up here listening to you. And you know, I always tell you, man, I'm just really loving your
man,
growth.
Go ahead, old man.
Okay?
Keep going with the
prayer.
Keep going
with
the prayer, man.
I'm listening to you now because you, I'm just saying it out loud. I am. I'm just, that just makes me just smile like I was your grandfather. Anyway, question number
five.
Yeah,
you guys doing a John Maddox thing?
Yeah. What does the phrase, to them it is not given, mean? Matthew 13:11.
Verse 11 includes the phrase, to them it is not given, indicating that those outside the circle of believers were not being given the same spiritual instruction as the believers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my sister. Question number six. what happens in the hearts of people today when they reject the truth after they hear it?
We see the reality of this in people we know who once were under conviction of their need for salvation, but turn away from it. They then apparently forgot what they had heard. This is probably best illustrated in the example of the first person described in the parables of the sower. He received the truth but did not understand it, and so rejected it. As a result, the truth was snatched away from his heart by the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. That's different.
Okay, yeah, question number 7. How can people see but not see?
Jesus described such a person as one who saw but did not see and heard but did not hear. Those who rejected him saw him teaching the people and listened to his words, but they could not understand his messages. They had a physical hearing. They had physical hearing without the ability to hear spiritually. They had physical sight without the ability to comprehend spiritual reality. A mental comprehension of what is going on in the church service is not the same thing as spiritual comprehension. Possible to be physically present and miss the meaning. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
And you know what? What really gets me about people, and I'm going to say this, is that, you know, Jesus then went back to heaven, right? But we still see miracles happening every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still going on. And, I mean, when you stop and think about, you know, we still see stuff. We get to visualize and see things that happen every day. So I just don't understand how it is that people could possibly reject. You know, I'm going to just say this. Nature itself, we wake up every morning and we see the sun rise and go down in the same place. And no man did all that. But anyway, let's move on to the questions. I'm not going to keep that. Question number 8. Who did Jesus quote, and what was the context of that quote?
The last sentence in paragraph on the left side of page 45, to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy was the third reason Jesus spoke in parables. Just as in Isaiah's time, there would be a remnant of believers, but on the whole, the people were rejecting him and would suffer the consequences. Now, I don't know if that was right, but that's what I had. Okay, fine. Maybe not right.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Oh.
Question number 9.
Because he quoted Isaiah, so that was the quote probably when he was quoting Isaiah. That's what I got
right out
of it.
Right.
And back in the time, then he said it would be a remnant of believers. And so that's my answer. That's how I got the answer.
I'm good with that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Question number 9. How did that Old Testament passage apply in Jesus' day?
The same thing that had happened to the people in Isaiah's day was now happening in Jesus' day. People had rejected God and the Messiah he had sent. To fulfill Isaiah's prophecy, third reason Jesus spoke in parables. Just as it is in Isaiah's time, there would be a remnant of believers. But on the whole, the people were rejecting him and would suffer the consequences. Amen.
Now I got a question.
Okay.
Would we be maybe happening witnessing that in our day?
Yes. I think it's a whole generation out here rejecting it.
Absolutely. More than one generation.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to just be honest with you. I read the question. I never even paid attention to it just now. After you read the answer you just read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Question number 10. How are the disciples blessed in an unusually wonderful way? Did I lose everybody?
No, the disciples' blessing is under that. It's
okay.
The disciples were a great contrast to those who rejected Jesus. And as a result, they were unusually blessed. They believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, sent from God. Therefore, they were able to comprehend further spiritual truths. Amen.
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 Okay, that concludes our class for today. Are there any more questions or comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, honestly, we were talking about, you know, how we started off in different churches and ended up where we all are here today.
Right.
And myself, I found a pastor that took the word and showed me how to apply it to my everyday life. So that made the changes in me. That made the spiritual connection for me. I'm grateful. I love sitting here learning and talking with you guys and laughing with you guys, but still being filled with the Holy Spirit to go out here and tell others where I came from. I'm not ashamed anymore of the things I've done, because I know where I am today, and I know how I got there. It was through the teachings of our church, through the Bible reading that is in our model, teaching, learning, and doing. We're a Bible-based reading church. That's a blessing, you know, for
yes,
all
yes.
of us. And it helps
and
us to grow spiritually.
I want you to do something for me, though.
What?
You know what that is?
Here we go.
You remind me Sunday what you just said today, and then I'm gonna give you my answer when I see you.
All right. I know it's gonna
okay,
be some stuff, but I'll be looking for it.
Remind me to tell you what I can't say on the radio when I see you Sunday. It's gonna be all out of love, but yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I really appreciate y'all. I enjoyed this. I'm going to tell y'all straight up, I had a hard time doing this. I'm going to just be honest with you. It kind of messed with me. But now, after listening to y'all and listening how you grasp everything, how you put it all together, and that he that has an ear, let him hear. Because
mm-hmm.
it's important that we, and it's not so much the physical hearing as it is the spiritual hearing.
Shape
that you get to work with. But I really like how during this conversation you just brought everything together for me, and I appreciate that. Because like I said, I had a tough time with this. I did. I had a tough time with this because it challenges you to maybe go a little bit deeper, but not too deep. See, just like we talked about earlier, we have nothing to be sad about at all. We have nothing to be thankful because we got the Holy Spirit that lives inside of each and every one of us. So
right.
we know we win, but we got a responsibility, too. I was talking to Pastor earlier this week, and he told us that God, you know, God already knows everybody is going to be saved. But that shouldn't stop us from going out because we don't know. So it should be that we want everybody to be saved. Anyway, any more questions or comments?
Yes, sir. Here's my question. If you know you're dealing with a spiritually deaf person, how do you talk to them?
If you know you're dealing with a spiritually blessed person?
Spiritually deaf.
Spiritually deaf.
They can't hear. Yeah.
Spiritually deaf. I'm sorry.
I deal with it on business all the time.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to just use an example. You know how the man to take a block of ice and keep chipping at it until he gets what he wants out of it? You know how
yeah.
they make the ice sculptures and things like that? It starts off as a block of ice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just keeps chipping at it. He just keeps chipping at it. He just keeps chipping at it until he gets the design that he wants. Now, I'm not saying that you take a hammer and you go beat somebody, okay? But you just continue in prayer for that person. Because we know that prayer changes things. We all know that we changed because somebody prayed for us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, if they decide not to accept, that's on them. But you keep doing what you're supposed to do. You keep on chipping at it. Because one day, you never can tell, like I was just saying. God knows everybody is going to be saved. We don't. So just keep on chipping. Keep on chipping.
Deacon Tate, prayer, I'm that block of ice you're talking about. I'm that block of ice you're talking about. For real. Real talk.
What?
I'm that block of ice you're talking about.
We all were at one time.
Yeah.
We all were that block of ice.
Amen.
Yeah. yeah.
And Jesus
I
never gave up.
I know I'm that block of ice.
Yeah, I was that block of ice too. That's why my uncle used to call me Blockhead.
Okay, that couldn't be nobody but either Irvin or Manuel.
Right, and then, Manuel. And then my uncle Buster William. Well, his name was William, but we called him Buster. Anyway, he called me Rubberhead. See, so I was always smart.
Okay, well, that's about it, I guess. Somebody pray us out of here.
Okay, but before we do that, let's talk about this Friday. We got Kat coming up with Bring Back the Family. Get involved. Call in. Talk. Say something. Get involved. You never know who you're going to help. You have valuable information in you because you've lived life, and we're trying to help young people. There's nothing like, you know, I love those jobs where they would show me how to do it rather than hand me a book and say, here, have at it. But they showed me how to do it. I could do it. See, we can show people how to do it, and then they can do it. So tune in on Fridays and get involved in making a difference other than somebody need to do something about these kids today. They crazy. That's not going to really help. So you kind of got to, like, get in there. So get involved. Call in, okay, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Same call-in number, same login. Okay, Saturday, Pastor Jonathan Tate will be preaching. And on Sunday, I'll be preaching. We're going to do a redo. Amen. And then next Wednesday will be Carter, and she will be teaching forgiving one another. But we all perfect at forgiving each other, so that's probably going to be an easy one for us because we just love to forgive people, especially when they owe us money. They're in the store, got a cart full of stuff, but they ain't paid us. We be like, I forgive you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to talk about forgiving next Wednesday. Okay, so now you can have somebody pray us out.
All right. Rebecca, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Pray us out of here.
All right. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your power and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for a class that hopefully pleased you. Thank you for giving us another new understanding and another new revelation of you. Thank you, Lord, for fellowship. And thank you for a church home. And we just thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 Good class. Amen. Good class. Good class. Good stuff. Good stuff. Real easy. Real plain. Real full. To all of those who listen who don't have the book, I know you're happy tonight that we read from the book so that you could actually take part in answering the questions. All you had to do was have a little tight memory. But we thank God for each and every one of you who tune in who have the book. And for all of you who don't, we are all on the same page now, and everybody's able to get in and learn. So, again, my brother, I appreciate you, and I thank you for your diligence and for learning. We learned tonight that Deacon Tate was concerned about teaching the lesson. But we learned tonight that Jesus only deals with people who got those kinds of concerns. So that was a good thing. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
God preach. God bless you. God keep you. I found me another rapper. His name is Zonti. What are we naming these kids? Who looked at their baby and say, your name's Zonti? I mean, we really got to get better with this. Okay? We got to get better with this. Naming these Zonti. But he good, though. Anyway, yeah, he's Caucasian. Him and his brother got together, and Lord have mercy, look what Jesus did when he, well, we know what Jesus did when he put black and white keys on a piano board, right? But watch what he did when he put a black and white rapper together. Keep all the sick and shut in your prayers. Word to the baby Holy Ghost.
When they ask me how I did it, I say God taught me. When they ask me how I'm winning, I say God taught me. When they ask me why I'm different, I say God taught me. This my time to get it. God taught me. When they ask me how I did it, I say God taught me. I do not lie. People always changing colors like a stoplight. I'ma call you lefty cause I know you not right.
When you thought I was done, you should learn from Saint Nick and check twice. Ask me how I got here, I'll say God brought me. Ask me who this power from, it's gone on me. Every step I'm taking, I know God got me. I learned from the best, you can tell them God taught me. Yes.
I say God taught me. When they ask me why I'm different, I say God taught me. This my time to get it.
God taught me.
When they ask me how I did it, I say God taught me. When they ask me how I'm winning, I say God taught me. When they ask me why I'm different, I say God taught me. This my time to get it. God taught me.
Keep me on the way when I walk like this, sauce like this. I'm a boss, I guess God knows I'm blessed. Go to the bank and I cash that check. Guess what's next? I'll be the best. Don't get confused, I'm reliable. That's cause I always produce. God chose me so I don't have to choose. I can live out my dream, must be the shoes. You don't wanna offend anybody so you tiptoe. You so focused on your balance like you're a flamingo. Enjoy your day. Truth is out here, but it's hiding. So I make all of this music and they all like it. All your blooming smoke like it was cannabis. Why are we ignoring what the problem is? This year let's come together, put a stop to this. Long live the revolution, God with us. God with us. God taught me. When they ask me why I'm different, I say God taught me. This my time to get it.
God taught me.
When they ask me how I did it, I say God taught me. When they ask me how I'm winning, I say God taught me. When they ask me why I'm dreaming, I say God taught me. This my time to get it. God taught me. When they ask me how I did it, I say God.
Welcome, Mr. Morrow, Thursday.
Yeah.
I wonder if